Reconnect and heal today. Welcome to Love Never Dies with Dr. Jamie Turndorf.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Love Never Dies Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and it's my pleasure to be with you again this week. So I have a question for you. Would you like to know the four ways that you can visit with your loved one in spirit? Well, if you said yes, and I know you did, you're going to love to meet my guest today, Dr. Mark Pitstick. Mark Pitstick has over 40 years' experience and training in hospitals, pastoral counseling settings, mental health centers, and private practice. His training includes a pre-med degree, graduate theology and pastoral counseling studies, master's in clinical psychology, and a doctorate in chiropractic health care. And he's also provided suicide prevention counseling and education to many people. Mark became aware of clairaudient experiences at the ripe young age of 10 and has since been blessed with numerous miracles, revelatory, and spiritually transformative experiences. And after working in hospitals with many suffering and adults who were leaving their bodies and children as well, he felt motivated to find a sensible, evidence-based answer to the question that many people ask, like, who am I? Where am I? Why am I here? What happens after I leave my body? Will I see my loved one in spirit again? Is there a God? And why is there so much suffering if there is a God? So he's written a lot of books. He's done documentary films, CDs, and experiential workshops, and all of these address all the questions that we all ask, and they help you survive and even thrive through life's biggest challenges and changes. And his work also helps you discover how to enjoy the greatest life you have envisioned, no matter what your current circumstances. Dr. Pitstick has written Soul Proof and Radiant Wellness, and his books have been endorsed by Drs. Wayne Dyer, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, Deepak Chopra, Bernie Siegel, and so many others. And his latest book, The 11 Questions, shares his and 11 experts' answers to the most commonly asked questions about life, death, and the afterlife. And guests in that book are Anita Morjani, Carolyn Mace, Bernie Siegel, Stan Grof, Bill Guggenheim, and others. And Mark was the executive producer for the Soul Proof documentary film, a 93-minute movie featuring interviews with people who had evidentiary experiences. And he's also created 9 transformational CDs using hypnosis, breathwork, and guided imagery. He's a frequent guest on radio, and he hosted Soulutions, a nationally syndicated radio show about practical spirituality, and Ask the Soul Doctors, interviewing top consciousness experts. So we're going to just say hello to him before I go so on and on singing his praises. He's going to be in the spirit realm if we don't move this along. So are you here with me, Mark?
Yeah, I'm starting to snooze off there, Jamie.
Yeah. You know, when you start realizing all your accomplishments, it's amazing, isn't it?
Well, I'm pretty old, so you can get a lot done in a lifetime.
Well, wait a minute. How old are you? I think of you as a kid.
64.
You're what?
64.
That's not old. You're a kid. But as you know, time doesn't exist. We know this, right?
Yep.
Among other things. So, you know, I was fascinated to hear more, if you'd like to just give us a little bit of an explanation of the clairaudient experiences that you had at 10, and then these miracles and revelatory and spiritually transformative experiences that really set you up for the work that you're doing now. Would you be open to talking about that?
Sure. Yeah, first of all, there's some good multiple objective evidence that I never totally forgot where I came from. As a child. And so I was a little bit different. When I was 6 years old, my parents were showing me a beautiful sunset, and I told them it reminded me of God. And then later, and they didn't tell me that until 20 years later when I was in theology school. In my 20s, 2 different psychic mediums looked at me and said, "Whoa, we don't get many of you in our parts." And I said, "What's that mean?" And they said, "You're a teaching soul. Who usually doesn't come to this planet, and you have a big mission to share. You carry with you or bring with you a larger than usual spiritual support team, angels, guides, all that. So I can believe it because I was brought up in a traditional Lutheran church and took all that very seriously. But starting actually around age six, just started hearing this different kind of voice in my head, and I am not crazy. And I listened to it. It's like, you know, what's that voice? That sounds really wise and peaceful and calm. And so over the years, they taught me about that there's no hell, that heaven is not a eternal place where we walk on golden streets and play golden harps forever, that we each have important missions to share, and so on. And each one of those visits felt like a energetic kind of gem in my the center of my chest. And throughout my youth, I would periodically think about them. I never told anyone because there was no context for telling. And but they seemed sacred. They seemed special. I remember them, and they drive me to this day to do the work I do.
That's beautiful. Now, but your original career path was that of being a practicing chiropractor. Is that right?
Well, I was looking, even at that time, for holistic health care. As you mentioned, I started off pre-med, then theology, psychology. And so this is in the mid-70s when the idea of holistic health care, healing body, mind, spirit, came into vogue, and it made tremendous sense. So after evaluating medical school, osteopathy, and chiropractic was the only of the three, and still is, that from the beginning, we're talking in the 1800s, addressed body, mind, and spirit.
That's true.
Now, many people don't associate that with chiropractic. You know, they think it's for bad backs, but from the very beginning, it has been about addressing the chemical, nutritional, structural, or spinal, emotional, and spiritual aspects of a person.
Yeah, so that was the natural path. And did you, for a time, practice just as a chiropractor, and you weren't doing all of this other spiritual work per se? You worked with people's bodies, minds, and spirits in the chiropractic framework?
Yeah, keep in mind when I started doing chiropractic, I'd already been through theology school, and I had been a practicing psychologist for 6 years. So with any given patient, I had the tools as needed. So sometimes it was just spinal and cranial adjustments, but other times it was reassuring them that their loved one who just passed, they would see again. So it was wonderful to have all those different tools for whatever need arose.
So now you and I met each other through Gary Schwartz, the well-known afterlife researcher, and I know that you're working with him on various ways to reconnect and visit with our loved ones in spirit. And today, that's what we were going to talk about, is these four ways. So I'd love you to dive into that a bit more.
Sure. So just an overview first, and then we can look at whichever one of those you want in more depth. So the first way that a person can visit with, quote, departed, and keep in mind anytime I say deceased or departed or dead,
I'm you've got quotes around it.
Yeah, it's really not true. The only thing that dies is much less than 1% of who and what a person is. But the first way is through after-death contacts. Most people are familiar with these. They've occurred in about one-third of Americans, 66% of widows and widowers, and a full 75% of bereaved parents. Although when I speak with bereaved parent groups, as I do often, almost 100% of the hands go up when I ask how many have had meaningful visits from their children. The thing about after-death contacts, ADCs for short, is, though, that they're spontaneous. There doesn't seem to be, or people don't perceive that there's a lot of control over them. And that's why I wrote an article. It's article number 9 on my website, soulproof.com, 12 ways to visit with your, quote, departed loved ones right now. Because there are indeed a number of things that a person can do to stack the deck, to increase the probabilities that they will have an ADC.
So that's interesting because, you know, my work is all about helping people to reconnect and then heal unfinished business. That's spiritual relationship therapy. And I always talk about, I use the metaphor of, for most people, their after-death communication feels very much like a beggar with a cup, you know, and you're sitting there with your arm outstretched hoping that a coin will drop in the cup, and it's a very powerless experience. And it can be actually depressing in that if you're really living for that coin to be dropped in and no coin drops in, you feel even more sad and disconnected. So my work is really very much on the same track as yours in helping people to become more proactive and actively engage their loved one and resume the relationship and resume the dialogue, right? So you're doing the same thing. And you're saying, to stack the deck, these are the 12 ways. So what are these 12 ways that you present?
Well, can we do an overview first?
Please, however you want to do it.
Yeah, so the second way is through mirror gazing, and I learned this from Dr. Brandon Moody. He describes it in his book, Reunions. I spent a week with him in Nevada training to do what's called a psychomantium, how to set it up and lead people through it. Did that for a while with groups of people, and certainly had some people had meaningful experiences, objective ones, names came through. People felt a touch on them despite being some distance apart. So definitely interesting things coming from that. The third way is facilitated after-death contact. So this is something I put together, as far as I know, first, and based on my training with Dr. Moody. So I found that mirror gazing was, things have to be just right, and it's a lot of work, and you have to have a light-proof area and so on. So I thought, well, how else can people get in touch with their loved ones? And having gone through training with Dr. Brian Weiss to do past life regressions, I just converted that over using deep hypnosis, setting again the stage for people to perceive the very real presence of their loved one. In our documentary film, we had a spiritualist minister, and he said, you know, it's funny, I go to funerals and people are standing around the casket crying and talking about how much they're going to miss their loved one. And I'm standing there talking to him. So same way with these facilitated after-death contacts. You know, loved ones are very near. They're not a zillion miles up in the sky. And so in this deep hypnosis, able to turn down the brain that's dealing with all this minutia, and then realize
the monkey mind.
99.9% of reality.
Mm-hmm. And the fourth way is, too, you're raising the vibration, right? You turn down the monkey mind, and in the deep trance, the vibration raises. We can talk more about that in a minute. So now the next way.
Getting more on their wavelength. And then the fourth way you already mentioned, which is the soul phone technology. So having given the listeners an overview of that, be glad just to start in on the 12 keys to having visits, if that's where you want to go.
No, we can go where, you know, mi casa is su casa. We go, I'm offering, you know, you the platform to really present your material in whatever way feels comfortable to you, you know?
Sure.
So
would
you like to go?
Yeah, let's do dive in with some of the keys. I don't know if we can cover all 12, but again, the article is available for people to read. It's article number 9. They're called Transformational and Healing Articles on soulproof.com. So people can read through these if we don't have a chance to cover them all. So the first one is to learn the evidence. There is so much evidence, clinical, scientific, and empirical. And the word empirical, as you know, means based on firsthand experience. So as a scientist, for example, Dr. Schwartz, and for listeners who don't know about him, Yale and Harvard professor, now at the University of Arizona, he says, as a scientist, and he's doing the best research on consciousness as far as I'm concerned on the planet, as a scientist, he is 99.9% sure that consciousness survives bodily death. That's a really high number for a serious scientist who's written 11 academic books and presented 300 papers at scientific conferences and so on to state. So that is all presented in my book and the documentary film Soul Proof, and it's clearly there. Lots of evidence. So that's the first thing for people to know, because how can you visit with someone if half of you wonders if there really is an afterlife, or if you're fearful? Because as you mentioned, we have to be on the same wavelength. Those on, quote, the other side, and so many of these words are inadequate, but those in spirit, the energy that usually predominates is love, peace, joy, enthusiasm, and gratitude. So that's their high, fine wavelength they're on. Well, if a person, as you mentioned, some people get depressed, like the beggar holding out the cup. So if they're, if a person is depressed, angry, fearful, feeling lonely, bitter, etc., you're not going to be able to hook up. It's like trying to listen to FM 101 when you're tuned to AM 34.
Right, that's the perfect analogy.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's the first step. Know the analogy. Know that from a scientific viewpoint, there's tons of evidence, some of it in duplicated, double-blind, peer-reviewed, journal published, statistically significant studies done at universities. So that's the first step.
So we're talking about a lot of the survival of consciousness research and the quantum physics research. And, you know, if you were to summarize that very simply for people, it's the idea that energy cannot be destroyed, and the fact that we know that 95% of the universe is comprised of dark matter or dark energy, not because it's dark, meaning evil or bad, but just because it doesn't reflect light. So the fact that our soul essence, or the energy of our soul, just lives on and moves into the dark matter. This to me is a very sort of down-to-earth way of understanding it.
Yeah, and even another down-to-earth way comes from Lynn McTaggart, author of The Field. And so she interviewed some of the top quantum physicists in the world, and they agreed that of all the light and energy that exists in our world, and that's, as you know, the most fundamental description of reality, we look like we're solid, but it's really light, energy, love, things like that. So of all that light and energy, if it were the, in our world, if it were the size of Mount Everest, the portion that the average human can perceive with their five senses would be the size of a golf ball. And so that's the other big takeaway for people, that there's so much more to life. We call it the greater reality than we can apprehend. And just knowing that then allows us to relax and also realize why things don't make sense sometimes, because if we just trust what our five senses tell us, we're looking through a pinhole. If we can enlarge that just a little bit through meditation or various methods, listening to intuition and revelatory experiences a person has, then you start seeing a little bit more and you get a sense of how wonderfully set up life is.
Right. Okay. So number two?
Well, that is to know that these after-death contacts are real and very common. I mentioned some of the statistics. The ADCs have occurred with well-known people where there is evidential aspects. For example, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, a well-known death and dying pioneer, was a psychiatrist, a professor at the University of Chicago, and she was walking down the hall and a woman passed her, and a few steps later, Dr. Ross said, "Whoa, wait a minute, that's Mary, we'll call her, who died 6 months before." And so she turned around and said, "Mary, is that you?" And the woman said, "Yes, I didn't want to upset you." Mary was appearing almost 100% fully formed, solid appearing. And so Dr. Ross said, "Would you like to come into my office?" And had the wherewithal to get some evidence. She said, "You know, the minister who worked with us so much before you died of cancer, before your body died of cancer, would love to know you're alive and well. Could you write him a note?" And the woman did, and later handwriting experts attested that it was exactly the same as the writing when the woman was living.
Oh my gosh, you're killing me with this story, because I've never told anybody this, Mark. When I gave my first workshop at Lilydale in the summer, the staff was at the door, and they were handling all the walk-ins of people who, you know, hadn't registered in advance. And in the end of the event, the person looked down at the form and saw that my husband had signed in, and it was his handwriting.
And these stories are very, very common, as you know.
Yeah.
So one of the things we encourage people to do, and this is all about having more awareness of our loved ones, is tell your stories. Because if you keep it inside, again, you're keeping it at that lower energy level.
That's right.
But when you share it, you find out how common they are. And it's like,
that is so true. That is so true. One of the first things y'all said was, tell our story. Let our love shine like a torch that lights the path for others.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you're saying.
Dr. Carl Jung also had an evidential ADC, which is kind of long, I won't go into. But the point is that there is good evidence based on evidential and shared ADCs that these are not just wishful thinking or a figment of the imagination.
And so you're saying share it because it gives other people the confidence to trust their own experiences.
Also, it gives a person more internalization of when you share it with others, hear yourself saying it, it makes it more real. You know, you've had experiences, and afterwards, you can tend to doubt it because they are more subtle, ethereal, gauzy than usual normal waking reality. But when you've shared it, when you've written it down, any time I have a extrasensory perception like that, I write it down. And then a year later, I go back and say, yeah, that's the way I remember it.
Yeah, and the writing it down concretizes it, yeah. That's wonderful. So now we've done two, and we're up to three, right?
Yeah, and the next one is, you know, the Bible talks about asking, you shall receive. So ask for contact. Ask for it in prayer. Talk to the person as if they're really there, because they are. And so it's very much like, you know, in the past, and I understand why people have these misconceptions. Many of us were brought up with odd religious teachings that we find out are actually very inaccurate. But the emerging picture is more and more that those in spirit are not so different from those of us on earth. Dr. David Bohm, who is a contemporary of Einstein and one of the geniuses in quantum physics, recently said to Dr. Schwartz, through one of the top mediums, Gary, you will be surprised at how similar we are to you. So what do you do when you meet somebody on Earth? Hey, how you doing? My name's Mark. What's your name? And then you strike up a conversation. Well, just do the same thing with loved ones who have, quote, passed on once you realize they haven't and that they're alive and well and present.
Keep the conversation going.
Yeah, and even set an appointment. In other words, you wouldn't expect people on Earth to be available anytime, anywhere. So just say to them, you know, whoever the loved one is, hey, I would love to meet with you. Can you meet at this, can we, let's try this day and this time, and then sit down and meditate, have a peaceful, quiet area, and you may well be surprised at what pops up.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things I always like to tell my patients, people, you know, in the live audiences and so on, is that the way they communicate with you in spirit form is very similar to the way they communicated when they were in a body. So, and that also is very reassuring for people. So if I know my mom wasn't a big talker, for example, but she was physically demonstrative, then be more prepared for clairsentient experiences to come through. The feeling of a warmth or hugging or an embrace is going to be more what you're going to experience. If somebody was chatty, then you're going to get more, you know, sentences and words coming into your mind through mind melding or thought induction.
Yes, and you bring up a good point about being open to how the messages come through. Sometimes people have a preconceived idea. You know, they want to see the person physically, hear their voice like you're hearing mine now. But you may have a feeling. You may smell a fragrance.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, it's funny. Even psychic mediums say that they don't often hear a voice, an audible voice. They hear a thought. You know, it's more of a thought that's implanted. We have to take a break, but I'll be back with you in a moment on Love Never Dies Radio.
Love Never Dies is now on the Dream Vision 7 radio network every Wednesday and Thursday at 1 p.m. and 1 a.m. Eastern Time. Dr. Jamie Turndorf, also known as Dr. Love, is the number one international best-selling author of Love Never Dies, How to Reconnect and Make Peace with the Deceased. If you're grieving the loss of a loved one, tune in and find out how to reconnect and heal any unfinished business using Dr. Turndorf's groundbreaking new Dialoguing with the Departed technique. Visit AskDrLove.com to find out more.
Omega Institute, offering workshops, retreats, and online learning dedicated to awakening the best in the human spirit. With a 40-year track record, pioneering holistic studies, and helping more than a million people find a deeper sense of purpose, Omega is known the world over as a trusted source for an integrated approach to personal growth and social change. Located in Rhinebeck, New York, just 90 miles north of New York City, Omega's natural environment and quiet pace allow for extraordinary experiences to unfold. Learn more at eomega.org.
Are you ready for the quantum age?
Humanity's next step in evolution?
Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you to the extraordinary platform of Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age.
Let's explore. Learn more about this upcoming age where we bridge science with spirituality.
Where potentiality meets reality.
Where we take compassion into action.
Our trailblazers and visionaries will ask the whys, the what ifs, while igniting continuous possibility.
Come along with us into an age beyond what we know today, where we can grow together in unity consciousness.
Experience Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age, Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on DreamVision7Radio.com.
You're listening to Love Never Dies with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. If you yearn to get along better with your life partner or spouse, friends, family members, and even coworkers, Dr. Turndorf's book, Kiss Your Fights Goodbye, Dr. Love's 10 Simple Steps to Cooling Conflict and Rekindling Your Relationship, shows you how to turn conflict into connection for a lifetime of lasting love. Find out more about Kiss Your Fights Goodbye at AskDrLove.com. This is Love Never Dies with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. This show is for you, the listener. Once again, here's Dr. Turndorf.
Hello again, and welcome back to Love Never Dies Radio. I'm talking with Dr. Mark Pitstick about the four ways to visit with your loved one in spirit, but we're actually doing a 12 countdown, and we got up to number three, right?
We have, but one more point about that, Jamie, is that, and I doubt if many of your listeners are in this department, but others who are not regular listeners, there's still some carryover from archaic teachings about concerns about contacting those in spirit, and most of that comes from what we call the Thou Shalt Not chapter in Leviticus, where they say, Thou shalt not cut your hair a certain way, Thou shalt not plant more than one seed in the field, shall not wear clothing made of two types of yarns, etc. Things that, I guess, made sense back then. By the way, one of those shalt nots is women shall not go into the temple when they're on their period, and that was considered punishable by death. So looking back a couple thousand years ago, we can see that this doesn't really fit in with contemporary understandings. Well, one of those was, thou shalt not consort with spirits. So when people quote that one line from the Old Testament, are they taking the others really seriously? So I encourage people to relax about that. Yeah, you want to be smart about it. You want to pray before and be assured that your contacts will want to be of good in God, love and light. But otherwise, I think a person can go forward without any fears about that.
I'm glad that you brought this up, and there's also a lot of terror of devils and dark forces and, you know, creatures and beings from hell. And as you said in the early part of the show, and this I've heard repeatedly from Jean, that, you know, there's no such thing as devils and dark forces and hell and all of these things. But people are terrified that if they open the door to the spirit realm, some kind of dark force is going to come in and get them.
Yeah, this is part of why I went to theology school, to explore for myself some of the totally, ridiculous notions that were being bandied about. And so, for example, the original Aramaic language, the word devil meant wild, chaotic, unbalanced energy. That's what it originally meant. And so when teachers around the time of Jesus were teaching about devil, that's what they were talking about, wild, imbalanced, chaotic energy. But then when the language bridge was broached from Aramaic to Hebrew, which is mainly a temple language, to then Greek, and then German and English, and then realized that we went through the Dark Ages through there, and then as now some rulers, whether they're religious or political, who were always looking for an opportunity to increase their wealth, power, and control, then they turned all these original understandings, which make sense, to scary things like big red man with pitchfork and the horns.
It's amazing how, you know, when you're speaking the truth, there's such a consistency from person to person when it is true. Because, what you know, I never went to church. I never read the Bible. My husband was the theologian. And one of the things that he told me was there's big business in fear. Because if the priests and the ministers say, we have to be your intercessor to your loved ones in spirit, we have to protect you from these dark forces, it's big business, because now you come to church and you tithe and the church makes money. So essentially you are reiterating what Jean told me. And it's wonderful to hear you, you know, we're on the same page. It's very, very clear.
Yeah, and over the years, my workshops and radio shows, I've had many elders share with me that they felt the same thing. They said, thank you for saying this. I thought I was
yes.
the only one, but they saw these
yes.
inconsistencies as well.
Yes.
When I was a teenager.
Yes, now,
my...
Mark, there's one other thing that I wanted to bring up, because, well, this one was channeled into me the first night I came back from Italy following Jean's bodily departure from the bee sting. And you understand, I didn't believe in God or the afterlife. I'm like total science, you know, doctor and psych, all this. And he starts quoting a passage to me, Mark, and I know he's quoting something, but I don't know what the heck it is, because I never read the Bible, and John and I never discussed religion. So the next day I went to see his priest, and I said to the priest, look, my husband is quoting something to me. And at first the priest looked at me like, this woman's lost her marbles. She's out of her mind. But then when I told him what I heard Jean saying, the priest actually became white. And then he crossed himself and he said, dear God, Jamie, at first I didn't believe that Jean was speaking to you, but I do now. And he said, you are quoting an obscure biblical passage from the communion of saints. Now, I didn't know what the heck this was. As I said, I didn't read the Bible. And I kept, you know, reflecting on what the point of this message was. And finally, I understood, because Jean always was a religious pioneer in his bodily life, and he continues to be in his spirit body, he was giving me the theoretical foundation for this transdimensional grief resolution method that I developed. And what I discovered was, and you know this because you have theology background and training, that the communion of saints says your loved ones in spirit are one with or in communion with God and the saints. And since the Bible says we're supposed to stay in communion and communication with God and the saints, it means the Bible is saying you're supposed to stay in communion and communication with your loved ones in spirit, because they are one with God and the saints.
Mm-hmm. And let me ask you, how long after that experience did it take for you to awaken to the greater reality?
Oh, I was awake from the moment he left his body.
Mm, okay.
The moment he left his body, it was so obvious to me when I collapsed on the bed in Italy, hysterical, crying, you know, and I felt his hand stroke the entire length of my spine, and I knew what I felt, and that was it, you know.
Wow, what a gift. And my understanding is that souls will arrange things like that. In other words, perhaps it was difficult for your soul to awaken, because you come to Earth, you know, it's so mesmerizing. It's so, it seems so real that everything is just solid and nothing exists but what is solid. And so perhaps out of love, he agreed to pass at an early age. It also fit with his...
Oh, it was all this. It was definitely a ministry, because the first thing he said was, you can't give up. You cannot die. We have too much work left to do in our ministry. So this was a soul pact that I only discovered after he left his body.
Yes, and same lesson
yes.
for listeners. You know, we've all had disappointments and heartbreaks and so on, and so hopefully they can realize the same thing is going on with them. even though it may seem from a purely human perspective to be cruel and chaotic.
Yes, but if there's there's a kind of method to the madness, he had to leave his body so that I would be able to transmit his messages and also, you know, teach others how to heal their unfinished business and reconnect. So we understand that out of these most painful experiences, these are the moments where our souls are really being broken open to our destiny and our highest purpose.
Yep. God is not asleep at the wheel.
No way. Okay, so lay another one on us now, please.
what fun. Number four, we've covered a bit, and that is upgrade your consciousness to higher and finer levels. So we've talked about ways to do that. Meditate on a regular basis, spend time in nature, pray, serve others, be around kindred spirits. You know, I love unity churches and other places where there are open-hearted, open-minded people. Express gratitude. I have a little formula to help with that. My dad passed on about 10.5 years ago, one of my best friends, super cool guy, and I was really missing him. And in the middle of the night, I awakened with a question. This is a few weeks after he passed on. And the question in my mind was, what's the next step after acceptance? And so I realized they were talking about the five stages of grieving from Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, denial, anger, bargaining, depression, acceptance. So I thought, what's the next step after acceptance? And immediately the word art came into my mind, A-R-T.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, art, like what, you take up art as a hobby or something? And then I had a sense, no, this is an acronym. So I pulled out a paper and started writing. And just very quickly unfolded, A stands for appreciation. Appreciation for the time you did have with each other, for the great memories. No one can ever take those with you. And so this is one thing that I encourage people to focus on when they feel their energy getting lower, again, feeling depressed or alone or angry or whatever. Focus on appreciation. The R stands for realize you'll see them again. Certainly when you pass on, but as we're discussing, you can see them right now and realize that and get excited and grateful about that. And then the T stands for transform yourself. In different cultures, Native American, for example, it was believed that when a dear one changes worlds, they would leave behind a spiritual gift. And many people have described, you know, ever since my mom died, I've been more patient, just like mom was. And so also to honor the one who has changed worlds, to transform yourself, to be a brighter light, just as you've done. I mean, look at everything you're doing after your husband's passing. So focus on art, appreciation, realize, transform. And it's a moment-to-moment choice. Whenever a person finds themselves getting down in the dumps, boom, come right back to that ART formula.
You know, I love that. And it's so funny because I love alliteration. I love acronyms. I love that. And I notice that spirit will often give us these little, I'll get things that come through in rhyme, you know, so that I'll pay attention. And it's easier to remember. It's like a mnemonic device. And, you know, I always like to say, don't reminisce, reconnect. Because it's a fine line I find with my patients. If you reminisce a lot, it's very easy to fall into what I call the hole in the donut syndrome, where you start saying, I reminisce about you, and that rhymes with miss. I'm missing you. I'm missing your physical presence. And then I'm focusing on the hole in the donut, the physical presence that's missing, and then I'm losing sight of the entire donut, which is you're here with me in spirit form. So I always like to shift from reminiscing to reconnecting. What do you think?
Love that. I think I might steal that from you, Jamie.
You can, baby doll. We're all on the same mission. You know, don't reminisce. It rhymes with miss. Reconnect instead. So, yeah. And it's so funny that we're just meeting now because if you think about it, our missions are so similar, Mark, right?
Yes. Yeah, and the nice thing is there are many people who are awakening now. So we live in an exciting time. I really think it's going
people
to
are more open.
Happen in our lifetime. just any week now, Dr. Schwartz could have the big breakthrough. It could happen this weekend, where we'll be able to detect visual images of those on, quote, the other side. So, yeah, get ready, people, and prepare yourselves for this by really taking care of your temple, because it would be much like if a spaceship landed on the White House lawn. It would just be a big shakeup. And so those who are prepared for this in body, mind, and spirit are going to be able to handle the energy and then assist
awesome.
Others to this mm-hmm. new level of realization.
Let's take a break, and we'll be back in a moment on Love Never Dies Radio.
Love Never Dies is now on the Dream Vision 7 radio network every Wednesday and Thursday at 1 p.m. and 1 a.m. Eastern Time. Dr. Jamie Turndorf, also known as Dr. Love, is the number one international best-selling author of Love Never Dies, How to Reconnect and Make Peace with the Deceased. If you're grieving the loss of a loved one, tune in and find out how to reconnect and heal any unfinished business using Dr. Turndorf's groundbreaking new Dialoguing with the Departed technique. Visit AskDrLove.com to find out more.
Are you searching for a way to help create global change? Dream Vision 7 Radio Network's vision is to have an eclectic group of radio hosts dedicated to educating, enlightening, and helping humankind with positive messages and tools that enhance lives using different modalities and programs. If you would like to join our team and help illuminate the universe, call Deborah at 508-226-1723 or Deborah at dreamvision7radio.com.
Omega Institute, offering workshops, retreats, and online learning dedicated to awakening the best in the human spirit. For 40 years, Omega has been a gathering place for great thinkers, creative talent, spiritual teachers, and social visionaries. With 390 workshops to choose from, Omega offers something for everyone. Located in Rhinebeck, New York, just 90 miles north of New York City, Omega's natural environment and quiet pace allow for extraordinary experiences to unfold. Learn more at eomega.org.
You're listening to Love Never Dies with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. If you can't stop crying over the bodily loss of a loved one, Dr. Turndorf's number one international bestseller, Love Never Dies, How to Reconnect and Make Peace with the Deceased, will show you how to toss out the tissues and transform your grief into joy using her groundbreaking new Dialoguing with the Departed technique that enables you to reconnect and even heal unfinished business with those in spirit without the assistance of a medium, channeler, or psychic. Sign up for Dr. Love's free newsletter at AskDrLove.com and receive an exciting gift, a free excerpt of Love Never Dies. And now, back to Love Never Dies with Dr. Jamie Turndorf.
Hello again, and welcome back to Love Never Dies Radio. I'm talking with Dr. Mark Pitstick, and there was something you said right as we were coming to a break which sparked me to want to tell you something, and I completely left that moment. So I don't know what it was. It's just, we're back into
happen.
This moment. It happened. So
yeah.
Let's continue with the next way to reconnect.
The five is be aware of subtle communications, and we've talked about this some, and I'd like to reiterate the importance of being open to how these visits come in. As you know, it can be a quote, malfunction of electronic devices, synchronicities, mm-hmm. lucid dreams. So really ask for it and then really keep your antenna up and be aware of how this comes in. Number six is talk to them as though they are present, because they really are. We've talked about this some, and for myself at least, communication is telepathic, and one way I know that I'm most likely communicating with those who have passed on is that it occurs in a nanosecond. I'll start to think
mm-hmm.
about something, and then I'll get the answer before I've
mm-hmm.
even finished thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I also feel, it seems like I receive these messages in my over my third eye, just above and between the eyebrows, and also over the heart. They're subtle, but they're clear, they're instantaneous, and certainly
mm-hmm.
different from my usual waking thinking.
Right, and when you talk about thought induction or mind melding, which is the same thing, the way I describe it is, it's just pops in. You know, it's not your own thought, and it comes in so quickly, seems to come from outside of yourself somehow, and then, boom, it's in you.
Yep, pops up, right? Floats in. Those are the key words I like.
Yeah.
The seventh thing, and we may actually get to the 12 here today, is release any pressure on yourselves, because when people start to consciously seek communication, you know, it's like any kind of performance anxiety. Oh, what if I mess
yeah.
up? What if nothing happens? And we don't.
You know,
that,
Mark, because I have this raunchy side to my personality, I always use the analogy of impotence. I say, what happens to a guy who tries to force himself to get an erection? What happens?
Sure.
The flag just flies at half mast. It doesn't work. Well, it's the same when you're trying to push an interaction with someone in spirit. It just renders the interaction impotent. It doesn't flow.
And, yes, we don't want the flags flying at half mast.
No, we don't.
And so relax, enjoy the process. I mean, they're probably chuckling away at it. And also, it might be difficult for them. I mean, think about it. This is interdimensional communication. And it's
yes.
not an easy thing. So just relax.
I remembered what I wanted to tell you. I remembered.
Yeah.
I told Gary this, and Gary freaked out. So, you know, I train coaches over Zoom, and I do a love club, which is more helping people to reconnect. And then in another Zoom meeting, I train coaches all over the world. And we often see Jean appearing on the camera. He's a silhouette. We hear voices that are not coming from us, you know, voices from the spirit realm. And a couple of, it was earlier last year, we kept hearing a word being said over and over, and I couldn't make it out. So I sent it to have an afterlife researcher listen, and he kept saying over and over again, a man keeps repeating the word. It sounds like they're calling, they're calling, they're calling. I presume it means the spirits are calling. I said, oh, no, that's not what it means. Jean was telling me, publish the novel we wrote called The Calling. We had tried for decades to publish it. It was never the right time, and he was telling me, do it now. And I sent it to the publisher who did the audiobook for Love Never Dies, and I got a contract within that day. Is that wild?
Beautiful.
It's so beautiful. And they're here to help us and guide us.
Yeah, especially when the first soul phone device is perfected. You're going to look really presentient, prophetic in that regard. Good for you.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've got a little hub here, you know. Jean says that he's running a clinic in the spirit realm. It's like the satellite branch to teach those in spirit how to connect to their loved ones. So we hear them while we're running our meetings, rustling paper and laughing. They're sometimes, they have very poor manners sometimes, I have to say.
We've gotten some feedback from what we call the A-team, David Bohm and Einstein and Sagan and
yes.
others. And they say that they are working on the same thing, and they're looking at it in terms of intention. It's a matter of focusing their energy so they can make a clear but also sustained visit.
Yes, and it takes a lot of energy to do. I see this. So what else?
Number eight is hold an object of theirs. As you know, personal objects can retain some energy. And so it's useful, I mentioned setting a time, sitting down, meditating, praying, quiet area, and then hold a special object of them. And that's just one more way to increase the chances of a meaningful connection.
That's lovely. Oh, that's eight, right?
Yeah. Number nine, give thanks when any kind of communication happens. So if you just get a hello, like a hello pops out, or you kind of hear their voice, or you feel their presence, give thanks for that. Again, remembering that it's one of the highest energy emotions, and so that increases the chances that next time there'll be even more coming in.
Right, and you know, those in spirit have feelings, and nobody likes to feel, you know, people will say, well, I'm telling him to do it, and well, nobody likes to be bossed around. And everybody likes to be able to love under free will. And, of course, when you're appreciated for what you do in your free will, it makes you just want to do more.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, this next one, number 10, there are a few sides to it, and that is leave room for the X factor. And Native Americans, again, I've learned so much from their teachings. Another word they had for God was the great mystery. And it's important to appreciate that. So, for example, a person may wonder, why hasn't my loved one who graduated been in touch yet? Well, there can be a number of reasons. First of all, time isn't really real, so what seems like a long time to us on Earth could be, I mean, they're still being getting oriented and so on.
They're getting cooked, yeah.
On the spirit side, especially if they died by suicide or they were very old and degenerated physically, they may be recharging. We hear about healing showers and a time of rest and so on, getting their energy back up before they're able to make a contact. So that's a possibility. Another is that they are very busy. They're doing something really, really important there. They know that you're okay. You know, while you would prefer a visit, they know that you're going to be fine. It's not like you really need it. So they go ahead with their priority. And the last one is that it can be a soul contract that after-death contacts don't occur because it's part of the person on Earth's soul plan. It gives them a chance to become more independent, maybe become more persistent, increase their faith and knowledge, all of those things. So that's why I encourage people, you know, don't stress it. Realize how vast the universe is and be open to some of these reasons.
That's good. Very good. You're such a scholar, you know. Your knowledge is broad and you explain it, just really explain yourself very well.
Well, I have lots of help, and remember, it looks like I came in with a lot of this, so it just, like you say, it pops up. The 11th thing is to use the facilitated after-death contact technique. We don't have time to talk about that much, but as I mentioned, deep hypnosis, it's a CD or a digital download, $15 whopping, and allows a person in the comfort of their own home then to go deep and experience. And I think when we first met and had a Zoom session, I told you about a woman named Elaine at a Helping Parents Heal, a bereaved parents group, and her son had passed about a year before, and we were doing the facilitated after-death contact session with about 25 parents. Well, about halfway through, she's sitting in the front row, you know, when people are hypnotized, their faces are just mush, hanging down, totally relaxed. One side of her upper lip raised up by itself, just one side, then the other side, then both at once, while the rest of her face was still totally relaxed. I tried it in the mirror afterwards, and it's impossible to do intentionally. And so after the session, people had a chance to share what they experienced, and she said her son came in right off the bat, and about halfway through the session, he was teaching her how to smile again.
Oh, how beautiful. How sweet.
And she felt him manipulating her facial muscles to raise her upper lip and to help her smile again. So these are the kinds of experiences parents have described, and other people with other loved ones, spouses and parents, having their hair stroked, a pat on the shoulder if it's a child sitting on their lap. So this can go very deep. So the information about this facilitated after-death contacts on my website, soulproof.com. And then the last is, the number 12 is, know about the soul phone research. And we mentioned this, that it could happen very quickly, whether it's being able to see them, hear them, text with them. It's going to happen in our lifetime, very, very likely. Dr. Schwartz is speaking in terms of 99% plus surety now that this will happen. So,
within you're thinking maybe this year.
Pardon?
I think that there's some thinking that it might happen this year.
Yes, oh, definitely. Yeah. And so to learn more about that, the website is soulphone.org, S-O-U-L phone.org.
Marvelous. Now listen, can you believe, talk about time not existing? Our time together has gone like a blink of an eye. We only have 2 minutes left. So in the last couple minutes, I would love for you to just give your coordinates so everyone knows how to find you, and maybe give us just a parting message.
Sure. Well, again, my website, soulproof.com, has lots of free articles. I think I'm up to 40 now that address every sort of need and challenge that people go through. Also, the radio shows from the Ask the Soul Doctors, you mentioned Anita Morjani and Stan Groff and others, those are available to listen to free. Top tab says radio shows, and then free newsletters. So lots and lots of content. And the final message is, relax, it's okay, we're forever beings. What many people who come back from near-death experiences, and these are people who had what we call validated NDEs, where they saw events that occurred in their room above the hospital, outside the hospital while they're clinically dead, they come back and say the same thing. We each are one with the one and part of Source right now. So not maybe someday if you do the right thing or believe a certain way.
Right.
And so when you know that's how life is set up, then you can relax and enjoy the ride and enjoy this wonderful adventure we call
exactly
earthly incarnation.
Exactly. Jean said, we're all one family. We're all one religion. That religion is love. And I have loved having you on the show, and I know that we'll be talking again soon.
I look forward to it. Thank you for what you're doing, Jamie. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for all that you're doing. See you next time on Love Never Dies Radio.
You're listening to Love Never Dies with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. Is your heart still hurting over the bodily loss of your loved one? The reason is simple. We're not meant to be separated from those we love. And reconnecting is the only solution. But reconnecting and staying connected requires guidance. That's why Dr. Turndorf has created her exclusive members-only Love Club, a private, intimate, and loving online group where she'll personally guide you to reestablish your relationship with your loved one in spirit and even resolve any issues that remain. If you're ready to discover the healing and joy of reconnecting, visit askdrlove.com/theloveclub and apply for a seat. But don't wait. To keep the group intimate, seats are limited. Visit askdrlove.com/theloveclub and request to join today. That's askdrlove.com/theloveclub.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.